Well, we miss our pastor and Margaret, and hope they're doing well. And if you're listening to this by internet, hope you're having a blast. Hope you're having a lot of fun. It's a well-deserved vacation. Let us pause for a prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here today, Lord. We thank you for your presence everywhere. Father, we just know that when two or more are gathered in your name, you are there in the midst. And so, Father, we definitely realized your presence here today, and we thank you for it. Lord, let this word go out to a seed. Take this seed and bring it to fallow ground, Lord, that it would root, take a deep root, and that, Lord, that you would get a harvest out of this. Lord, change lives. Bring about what you want with this word here today, in Jesus' name. Okay. I'm going to pick on Julie first. She came in one day and said that she had answered prayer, and I said, wow, that's pretty cool. Tell me about it. Well, you know, first of the year, a lot of people have New Year's resolutions or whatever. I know we typically as Christians don't. But Julie decided that she was going to lose some weight. So after starting this new diet, she altered her drive to work to avoid passing her favorite bakery. She accidentally drove by the bakery one day. And as she approached, she could see in the window, oh my gosh, I mean, chocolates and donuts and pastries and cheesecakes and whatever. And so she asked the Lord, she said, Lord, this wasn't by accident. Lord, if it's up to you, if you want me to have any of those delicious goodies, create a parking place for me directly in front of the bakery. And sure enough, on the eighth time around the block, there it was. God is good all the time, isn't he? Now, that wasn't Julie. I just had to put a name to it, make it a little better. But anyway, okay. Today, we're going to talk about your Jubilee. Isn't Jubilee a fun name? Jubilee, okay? You can't be down and depressed and sad and say the word Jubilee. No, it's Jubilee. I mean, even the word itself is a positive word. The year of Jubilee would come, well, first of all, we're in the year of Jubilee right now, okay? And to explain what that is, the year of Jubilee would come around every 50 years or a generation, and it would put an end to financial oppression, slaves were set free, mortgages ended, all bondage was broken, and the people would be free to start fresh. It was also a year of agricultural rest, as there would be no farming during this year. God promised to abundantly bless the crops and orchards, and the people were to rest from their labor. It was a year to focus on God and not farming, money, and social problems. It was a time of restoration. No, God wasn't a Democrat. And he wasn't a Republican either, but anyway. On the Day of Atonement, on the 50th year, a ram's horn is blown. We were talking about a ram's horn in Sunday school. The Day of Atonement is when all of Israel's iniquities, transgressions, and sins were forgiven, and the people were clean before the Lord. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle the blood on the altar, and at that point in time, all the sins were covered. Isn't it great that Jesus sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat in the same place? And they're not just covered, they're totally forgiven. Yeah. And not even known by him. Yes, wow. Praise the Lord. Leviticus 25:10 says, make the 50th year a special, consecrated, and holy year. Now, when you're hearing this, think about this year for you. Make this a consecrated, holy, and special year for you. And announce freedom, liberty for all the people living in your country. This time will be called Jubilee. It's a word related to the Hebrew for ram's horn. You will each go back to your own property, each to your own family and family group. The 50th year will be a special time for you to celebrate. So this is a year of celebration, folks. 2016 is going to be, you know, what you make of it. If you're going to embrace this year of Jubilee, guess what? You're going to have a great year. A great year. You'll go back to your own property, each to your own family and family group. The 50th year will be a special time to celebrate. Don't plant seeds or harvest the crops that grow by themselves or gather grapes from the vines that are not trimmed. That year is Jubilee. It will be a holy time for you, and you may eat only the crops that come from the field. God did it. It wasn't through the sweat of your brow. It wasn't through all the efforts that you're trying to put forth. It's God doing it, not you. Not by might nor by power, but only by His Spirit. In the year of Jubilee, you each must go back to your own property. Says it again. Okay, that word Jubilee means alarm, signal, shout or blast of war or alarm, or to shout for joy.
Yes,
and you say, wow, blast for war. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the battle does belong to the Lord, right? So there apparently is a battle, but it's His battle. The word 50 represents the Holy Spirit or Pentecost. You know, Jesus said, I must go, but I will send you a comforter. I will send you someone that's going to comfort you, that's going to be there. And we all know, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. So he took care of it all. You know, it's all been taken care of. Well, what comes to mind when you think of a ram? A ram. It's a male sheep. Okay? So when you think of the ram, you also think of Abraham and Isaac, right? You think of that ram that was stuck in the thicket over there and became the sacrifice so Isaac didn't have to. But, of course, that's a type and shadow of our Lord and Savior and how the Father sent His only begotten Son to sacrifice Himself so that we would have the abundant life that He's provided for us. The shofar is the trumpet. They're both the same. It was to be blown everywhere as a sound that proclaimed a new season of liberty. This is your new season of liberty. At the sound of the trumpet, everyone received a fresh start. You need a fresh start? You got one. You got one. So it was a time of renewed hopes and dreams. This was God's idea and gives us an amazing view of His character and His heart of mercy and grace. Make this time a jubilee in your life. This should definitely be a time of resting in Him, restoration, a fresh start, a new beginning, and a new day that is dawned in here. This is good because, you know, all that garbage, all that baggage and whatever, let's just leave it back there.
Amen.
And let's take this fresh start. You know, walk out of here if you haven't thought about it. If you're going to go through 2016 the way you went through 2015, what's going to change? I mean, nothing. So make a decision today for something to change in your life so that now you're able to have that fresh start. You're able to, maybe something needs to be restored to you. This is a time of restoration, and God is a God of restoration. So maybe you need something restored to you right now. Maybe something was taken from you that you want, and you know that God wants you to have it, and he's going to bring it back this year. Believe that. Yeah. Believe it. Have faith to believe that he's a miracle-working God and that his arm is not short. It's long. He can touch each and every one of us at the same time. Well, that's a God worth worshiping, isn't it? Wow. Number 70. Let me tell you why I picked 70. Since the time they crossed over to the promised land, there's been 70 jubilees. It's hot up here. There's been 70 jubilees. And Lord hasn't shown that to me. Maybe he's shown it to you. And if he has, let's talk, because I would be very interested in this. Many, many people believe that this is the last jubilee. Needless to say, he hasn't told me, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that thus saith the Lord, but I will tell you that many do believe that. It's been since that, first of all, the number 70. Guess what the number 70 means? Restoration. The number 70 means, think about that. 50 means Holy Spirit, Pentecost. 70 means restoration. And some are saying, I don't know if it's because of this or what, that God is going to restore all things. Wow. It's an awesome thought, isn't it? It also means universality, oneness, fullness, perfection. So you kind of see where they're getting at, but bottom line is we're in the year of Jubilee. Let's deal with today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. I see a huge shift. I think the word shift is a very important word right now, because I think we are all seeing, and we were talking about it at Sunday school, I think we're all seeing a huge shift going on in the body of Christ. You know, we're kind of spoiled here. We've been in some different messages for many, many decades, way before I came here almost 20 years ago, probably 20 years ago. And that the huge shift that's taking place within Christianity itself that many are worried about, and this will sound crazy to you, but it's a good thing, and that is the shift is away from sin awareness, fear, and control, going towards grace consciousness and hope. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Just if you don't believe it, go turn on the TV. The things that you would hear, and I'm not saying you still won't hear it, but it's about sin. It's about you better be a better person, and then. Well, we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But our identity is not in sin and the flesh, and what our identity is in Christ. That's our identity. That is who we are. When we look in that mirror, we see a son or daughter of Christ. That's it. We don't see anything else, because you know what? Everything else is a lie. It is a lie. I mean, let's face it. The things that sometimes we think are real are a lie. Every man a liar, God is true, right? Okay. All right. Those who tend to be more sin-focused may be tempted to panic over this, but be assured that this is a good and necessary thing. What you focus on, you make room for. So what are you going to focus on? What you focus on, that's where your mind's going to be, right? So let's focus on who we are in Christ and see ourselves as we truly are. See ourselves as he sees us. Not as we kind of do that self-condemning thing, oh, well, you know, I fell short here, or I fell short there. No, see yourself as complete in him, because that's how he sees you. We've been highlighting sin for centuries and reaped accordingly. We're now seeing a shift in movement to let grace rule, and we're going to see the fruit of grace like never before. It appears that the mainstream believers are seeing what Wings, Brother Eddie's been, Audrey, how long's Brother Eddie been preaching this? I mean, he was preaching it 50, 60 years ago, right? Yeah, I mean, we are blessed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is out of the expanded Bible. It says, if anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. It says here in the parentheses, the new creation has arrived. That day, that second, that new creation has already arrived. Well, I don't feel different. I just got saved. I don't. No, it's already happened. Okay. The old things have gone. Does it say that they're lingering? Does it say they're still hanging out? No, it says they're gone. But we don't believe that sometimes, do we? And that's where we get in trouble. Everything is made new. What of everything isn't everything? Everything is made new. It says the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ made peace between us and reconciled us to himself. Thank you, Jesus. And gave us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have with him. That's the ministry of reconciliation. For God was in Christ making peace between the world and reconciling the world to himself. I didn't write it, but it says that the Lord's going to reconcile all.
Yes,
I mean, I think you can pick any translation out there and you're going to see that word all. God did not hold the world guilty of its sins. What? You mean we're free from that? Wow, that's awesome. It says, God did not hold the world guilty of its sin, count their trespasses against them. And he gave, committed, and trusted to us this message of peace, reconciliation, so we have been sent to speak. We are ambassadors for Christ. It is as if God is calling to urge us, exhort us, encourage you through us. We speak for Christ when we implore you to be at peace with God. God made Christ, who had no sin, had never sinned, to become sin for us, so that in Christ we could become right with the righteousness of God. I think Jim said something about this in the Sunday school. Manifest what you possess. Isn't that good? Manifest what you possess. You got it, but you're not manifesting it if you're not, and I'm not either, every day, 24/7. If we could manifest what we already have, wow, it would change your life. It would change those lives around you. I mean, it would be unbelievable what would happen next. A word from heaven shakes everything that is involving Adam, the first Adam. So in other words, God will shake what can be shaken. If it can be shaken, he's going to shake it. Why? Is that good or bad? Well, it's really good. Because, you know, if something's on the table and you shake the table, it goes off the table. Guess what? It's off the table. It's not going to get back on. So, Lord, shake us. You know, shake what can be shaken. It shakes everything that's not kingdom. If it's kingdom, guess what? It's not going to be shaken. And this is where we get in trouble. Don't lower your thinking that we are to understand it and walk it out. That's good, but that's just the start. I can tell you, man, when I first became a Christian, I was on a path to read this Bible from cover to cover. So, I mean, I learned all kinds of stuff, but I was dangerous. Seriously, I probably upset more people than I helped. So it's truly seeing it and responding to it versus the knowledge and the trying to feel like you have to work it out through works, you know. It's truly seeing it, responding to it, because that is the only thing you can do, because that is all you can think of. That's all you can do. It's all Jesus. You know, Jesus told the Father, I don't say anything unless I hear you say it first. I don't do anything unless you tell me to do it, and then I'll go do it. If we see ourselves as dead, then it will take the desire for sin out of you. There'll be no more sweat, no more labor, no more weariness. If you're dealing with all that stuff, take it to the Lord, because he's the only one that can get rid of that. Hebrews 12:25 says, so be careful and see that you do not refuse to listen to when God speaks. If those who refused to listen to him when he warned them on earth did not escape, how much worse will it be for us if we refuse to listen to God who warns us from heaven? When he spoke before, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once again I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Yes. Remember, if it's all Jesus, he can shake all he wants, and shake, rattle, and roll, and it's not going to touch you, let me tell you. The words once again clearly show us that everything that was made, things that can be shaken, will be removed, destroyed, whatever you want to say there. So that the only thing that cannot be shaken will remain. And that's what we want. So let us be thankful, because we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That should be an amen right there. We should worship God in a way that pleases him with respect, reverence, devotion, and fear or awe. Because our God is like a fire that burns things up, a consuming, devouring fire. What's he going to burn up? Hay, wood, and stubble. So what's hay, wood, and stubble? That's everything that's not him. And those things need to go. I use this example of a shotgun versus a sniper. You know, I think sometimes when we get some word, like I was early on, I get some word and I felt I had to tell everybody, and I did not use wisdom. I did not use prayer. I did not do anything. It was just I had to tell everybody, you know. And my intents were honorable, because I wanted to see them get saved. So, but it was very foolish of me. But so I was taking a shotgun approach. I was just, you know, it was just going here and it was going there, and you know, and maybe some of it bore some fruit. You know, I don't know. I know my brother got really upset with me, and he didn't want to even be around me for a while until I wised up. But I think as we get more mature in Christ, I think we take more of a sniper's role. You know, the one that's in front of you. You know, that person that's in front of you. Lord, pray inside. Go inside. Lord, is there something that you want me to tell them? Is there something they need to hear? Is there an encouragement? Is there something that would help them draw closer to you? So that's kind of my sniper. Both can work. However, the Lord brings that one that is open to the word. I mean, when you get someone that's open to the word, you know it, don't you? I mean, it's really great. They're just like a sponge. They're just eating it all up. So, working out our salvation is working this first Adam so that the last Adam can rule and reign in our lives. That's what we want. Whoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. So, you know, you say, well, I got angry driving to church. This guy cut me off. I did something I shouldn't have done. But you know what? That's a lie. That is a lie. That is not who you are in Christ. That's that manifestation that we talked about earlier That's, you're not manifesting what you possess when you do that. So, but, you know, it's not true. It's not the true you. So, you know, we have to kick the first Adam out. We can't dress him up, make him look good, make him think he's a Christian, make him think that he's doing all the right things, fluff him and buff him and do all the things. You can't do that. There has to be a death, burial, and resurrection. You know, it talks about, you know, this will blow some people's theology, but you talk about the two men in the bed and the two men in the field and the two women at grinding. A lot of the church wants you to believe that's an example of a rapture or whatever, okay? What it is an example of the old has to go. The old has to go. The new remains. And that's in Proverbs 10:30. It says, the righteous will never be uprooted. Right? But the wicked will not remain in the land. So if there's two men, it's not Clyde and Jim. Okay? It's first Adam and last Adam. And the first Adam, get out of here. You're gone, you know. And the last Adam, Jesus Christ, remains. And when he remains, then, wow, you talk about Jubilee. It's Jubilee every day from that point forward. So I like how there was a definition in church or in Sunday school, the word dissolve. Jim came up with, he looked that word up, and it says, the word dissolve, when you think about it, when we're talking about what we're talking about, if you take a thing of water and throw an Alka-Seltzer in it, okay, the water doesn't go anywhere, right? It's still water, it's just something dissolved in it. And so maybe that might be a poor example, but Jesus dissolves the old man in us. We're still us. But we're not bound by some fleshly old man that we don't want anyway. So I thought that was neat. Guess what? When something dissolves the bad or the fire burns it out, whatever you want to call it, what's the result? I mean, there's change. So as long as we're changing that direction, that's always good. Okay, here's a true story. This was this elderly lady's bedroom. Upon entering the bedroom, her husband's glasses were on the dresser. Alongside them were his hairbrush and his wallet. His walker was in the corner of the bedroom with one of his old pajama tops draped over it that she would wear to sleep in. In the bathroom was his razor and his shave cream. All of his clothes were neatly folded in his dresser drawers, and his clothes still hung in the closet. He passed away 9 years before this event took place. 9 years. Spiritually speaking, we got to move that stuff out. It has no place in us from any day forward. I mean, let's start today. I mean, like the glasses. Those glasses may represent our vision. You know, if you've lost your vision, let's get it back. Because you know what the Bible says? Those without a vision perish. So if you've lost your vision, I think sometimes we get into this thing. We come to Wings every Sunday. We do this. We do that. We do the other. And I don't know if it's a rut or what. But if we are in a rut, let's get out. Let's get out. Let's start doing some things that, let's get rid of the walker. Let's get rid of the brushes. Let's get rid of the clothes. Let's get rid of the old man. Let's get rid of even those thoughts. And let's embrace the real. That's false. Let's embrace the real. The real is Jesus. And Christ in you, your hope of glory. That's the real. That's the real. Nothing else is real but that. So, you know, are we hanging on to stuff we shouldn't be hanging on to? If you are, you know it. You're sitting here right now, you already know it. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's, I got to keep accumulating more stuff. What, you know, whatever it is, you already know what it is. It may be anger. You may have, you know, you may not get angry hardly at all, but man, once when you do get angry, woo-hoo, get away, man. It's you know, breaking loose. Whatever it is, if there's something you're thinking about right now, take it to the Lord in prayer. Because he is the only one that has the ability to help you with this. Maybe you're a control freak. You know, maybe you got to control everything. You got to be the boss or whatever, you know, in your marriage, in your family, whatever. And that's not saying that there isn't need for good leadership. There is need for good leadership. But, you know, worrying about controlling everything is definitely not good. 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, but when a person changes and follows or turns to the Lord, that covering, the veil, is taken away. We don't want it. Lord, take it away. We don't want it. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, you all know the rest of it. Freedom. Liberty. Our faces then are not covered with an unveiled face. We all show, reflect, behold, and contemplate the Lord's glory. Don't you want to reflect the Lord's glory? We are being changed. We've heard the word transformed to be like him, into the same image, not a cheap imitation, but a same image, the same image. Think about that. I know it's hard to wrap our minds around that, so don't try to use it with your mind. Wrap the Spirit of God around that that dwells inside of you, and it'll blow your mind. You talk about Jubilee, that is Jubilee right there. It says that, to be like him in the same image, this change in us brings even greater glory, is from one degree of glory to another. You've heard glory to glory, right? Which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Colossians 3 says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep focus habitually on the things above, the heavenly things. Do not on the things that are of on the earth, which only have temporal value. Boy, is that true. I mean, think about all the things here on the earth that, like Brother Shep used to say, in 100 years from now, is it going to matter at all? In 5 years from now, is it going to matter at all? In a month from now, maybe it wouldn't even matter. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died to this world, and your new real life, I like that real life, the real genuine article life, is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Wow. This is true Jubilee right here, folks. I mean, it's abundant living that he promised us. You know, you can rest from your labors, receive from the Lord what he wants you to have and what he wants you to do. It's there. I don't know about you, but I get stressed once in a while. Why? I come home and I'm tied in knots sometimes. Why? Why? You know, there's no reason for that at all. So then Jesus comforts his followers and says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust, believe in God, and trust, believe in me. Your trust in God, and believe also in me. There are many rooms. The King James says, there are many mansions. Now, if you think for a minute that you're going to have a big house in Indian Hill after all this is over, I don't think that's what he's talking about. It'd be nice now, but no. But then, no, that's not. I mean, let's face it. Do you think for a minute you need a kitchen? Do you think you need a bedroom? Do you think you need to sleep? Now, I know you don't need a restroom. So guess what mansion means? It's an abiding place. It's a dwelling place. It's your abode. Okay? The root is abide. To continue, I like this, to continue to be present.
Yes, amen.
Not to depart. Never to leave.
Yeah.
Never. To dwell within him. To be continually operative in him by his divine influence and energy. We don't need to hardly do anything, do we? I mean, other than just continue to trust and let our hearts not be troubled and all that stuff. He does it all. Okay. Okay, this is the last definition or whatever. It says, something has established itself permanently within my soul and always exerts its power in me. That's the mansion you got to look forward to. But you know what? I don't think you have to wait.
Yes,
I really don't think this is some far off dream or something that you should have. I think it's something you should expect now.
Yes.
Or yesterday even. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the day. Now. That word now, I think, is going to be a very important word in 2016.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Not tomorrow faith, not yesterday's faith.
That's right.
Today's faith.
Amen.
Now faith is the substance.
That's right.
Amen.
That's good. That's very good, Jim. Now. Now. Let's get that in our minds. Now. Expect it now. Says, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. Now understand, he said this 2,000 years ago. The place is already prepared, folks. It's already there. He's already gotten you and taken you back, okay? But you have to believe it. You know, he says, the way to the place where I'm going. It's Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life. That's Jesus. So you know the way. What's the way? Jesus. Pretty simple. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? Ephesians 2:6 says, and he hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's now. That's not in the sweet by and by. That's now. And I like that word heavenly. Existing in heaven, things that take place in heaven, heaven itself, the abode of God and angels, the heavenly temple or sanctuary. We are the temple. So guess where he's going to live? He inhabits our praises. Oh, man, I don't know about you all, but every worship in here is awesome. But this one was extra special for me. I mean, when Cynthia started on her, I don't know what you would call it, praise in the spirit, you know, it was just, I had to fight back the tears. I mean, that's what happens to me when I really feel his presence. It's like a waterfall that turns on. The root of heavenly is the region above the stars, the seat of order of things eternal and consummately perfect, where God dwells. That's it. Ephesians 1:3, winding down here. And I love this because I get tired of Christians saying that this is off in the future somewhere. You know, they'll say Matthew 24 is off in the future somewhere. I don't believe that. Okay, I believe Jesus said this generation will not pass. Well, he's talking, if I'm telling you this generation will not pass, then it's your generation, right? Okay, if we could just get this mindset that it's not in the sweet by and by when you read some of this stuff. It's been provided now. Okay, Ephesians 1:3. I love this because of what it says. This is past tense. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, God has given us every spiritual blessing. Is has given past tense? It's not future and it's not present. So guess what? We already got it. He has given us every spiritual blessing. What is missing on every? Is there anything missing with every? I mean, it's like all. It's an absolute. And I love absolutes in the Bible because you can put your hat on it that every time or never, it's going to happen. You can count on it. You can set your watch to it. God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world or the heavenly realms or the heavenly places. Well, didn't we just read that he has set us in heavenly places with him? Yeah. We just read that. So guess what? The blessings, they're all there. It's already happened. It's done. So start manifesting it. Yeah. You know, we can possess it. We have it. We know it up here. But start manifesting all this that we possess. We must go forward in 2016. Don't stay the same and definitely don't go back. We got to go forward. The Lord told Moses, tell him to go forward. Back there you got the chariots breathing down on you. Go forward. You know, and of course that Red Sea was a form of water baptism. I mean, where, you know, they came out of that and before that they had to have a lamb for Passover, and there was shedding of blood. So, I mean, it's types and shadows all through the Old Testament of Jesus' coming. And then you know, baptized with the pillar of fire and the cloud. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. So it's all through there. It's perfect. It's the year of Jubilee, a time of celebration of the life he has given us. Let me say it this way. The more you decrease, the more he can increase. Simple. John the Baptist said, I must. Not I think I will, or maybe I could. No, I must decrease. Because back to that dissolving. We want the Lord to dissolve that old man. We're still going to be there. You're not going to lose your identity. You're just coming into the right identity. The real identity. The identity in Christ. And the better your Jubilee will be. I mean, the more of him, the better the Jubilee is. He will instruct your heart with wisdom and lead you into your Jubilee. God will be greater than every challenge. You say, oh, Lord, but man, I got these challenges. I've got this sickness or I've got this situation with my kids, or I got the, hey, look, God's bigger than all of it. And he can change it at any time. Snap of a finger, it can all be changed. It's, where is your faith? God will be greater than every challenge, and he will have a solution for every crisis. So that covers it all, doesn't it? So we don't have to worry about any of it. I believe abundance is also another key word, as we must shift our paradigm to this one of abundance, which is more than enough. He's given us more than enough. We don't need any more, really. We think we do, but we don't. He's given us more than enough. Let's have an abundant life in 2016. Let's have an abundant prayer life, because we all know how important prayer is. Let's spend more time in the Word.
Yes, amen.
I mean, you know. And you know what? I think we can then, regardless, I believe God's going to be blessing more too. I truly do believe that. Jim, would you like to, if you have anything, or would you like to pray, or anything that's on your heart? Put you on the spot here. There you go.
The restaurants don't close at 12:30. Don't worry about it. If they did, I'd be out of here. No. When we have talked about the ongoing death to the carnal mind and the self-life, we have sometimes imagined restricting and restraining ourselves, denying ourselves all kind of pleasures, desires, emotions, and actions. But that is not dying to self. That is an effort at restraining the outer or the old man, which in the final analysis changes nothing. 1,600 years of the law of Moses demonstrated infallibly man's inability to either restrain or reform their old Adamic nature. Death to the self-life comes only by the raising up within ourselves of a new dimension and a higher power of life. It was the Apostle Paul who taught us the wonderful truth that it is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes us free from the law of sin and death. I have some corruptible flesh and corruptible desires and things that would take me captive to the law of sin and death, but I'm looking past it. I'm looking at him who is invisible, Jesus Christ, my inner son. I'm looking to him who is mighty within me, who is able to subdue all things unto himself, who is able also to keep me from falling and to present me faultless before the throne of his glory. I'm not dwelling upon my flesh, for the outer man is perishing, and there is no covenant with that dying man. So the good news is you don't have to do it. And last night the Lord showed me in a vision some guy in quicksand. And the Lord said, those are my children that are trying to put their old man to death. They're in quicksand. And the more they struggle and wrestle with the old Adamic man, the deeper they go down, okay, in their emotions and so on and so forth. And the Lord says, all you have to do is lay hold of your rope of hope, is the way he put it to me. Just reach up to the rope, which is Jesus. Hold on. You don't even have to pull, the Lord says. Just reach up to your rope of hope, and I will pull you out. So continue to look up, says the Lord, and not to look down. And I will pull you into heavenly places, even in this year, even as my servant has ministered this morning. Look only to the Christ and do not get mired down into the miry clay of the old man who is already dead and in the grave. But continue to grab hold of your rope of hope. And all you have to do is look up to the rope and hold on to the rope. And the rope, as you focus on Jesus, will pull you out, says the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Anybody else have anything to say? Come on up. Voice of many waters. If you have anything, feel free. If not, don't all jump at once.
Cynthia's taking it all in. She doesn't need to work.
She can sing the word.
Okay. All right. Well, let's adjourn in prayer. Who wants to pray? Come on. Lonnie, go ahead. Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your answers.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you all the praise and the honor in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right.